honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our chance to catch up with 100-year-old Ray Lee of Fresno, California. We'll get a few final thoughts on that milestone in a moment. But one of the more vivid pictures Ray painted when we first featured his story on Hometown Heroes 5 years ago was of what he witnessed in April 1945, when Ray's division, the 97th Infantry Division, along with the 90th Infantry Division and the 11th Armored Division, intercepted what amounts to a death march. German SS troops were trying to evacuate emaciated prisoners from the Flossenbürg concentration camp.
Well, you know, we hit one town in Germany. Me and my buddy from Missouri, we decided to take a little walk, see this little town. We were stationed in this town, and we came around a little corner, and all of a sudden, there were three or four Jewish POWs who were dressed in black and white stripe. They had a yellow patch over the left side of the uniform. And when they seen us, I was shocked. We came head on around this corner, and he grabbed us and tried to hug us. And I was trying to fight him off, tell him, no, I don't want to touch him because they were all contaminated. So me and my buddy was fighting him off, trying to tell him to get away from us. We don't want to get too close to him. So anyhow, I'd never seen them. They were in real bad shape. They were all skins and bone. They were all dressed in a black and white stripe. They had a gold star over the left heart. They invited us over to the concentration camp. So we went along with them, and they gave us some liquor to celebrate the release of them. Well, I didn't take it, but my buddy from Missouri, he took a swig of it, and he said, boy, that stuff is strong. He said, boy, he shook his head. I said, I'm glad I didn't take it. And I said, no, I don't want it, I don't want it. They showed me, they took me in the concentration camp. I seen Polish people, I seen Italian, I seen English, I seen Gypsy, I seen all kind of nationality in this concentration camp, and boy, I said, this is one hell of a place to be. Oh, man, that's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's what I wonder. It's not like you've led a privileged life. I mean, you've had to work hard. You grew up without your mother. You heard your grandmother's story of immigrating from China to be a laborer here in America. But to see that kind of suffering, to see people in that kind of physical shape, how much of a jolt was that to you? How did that affect you?
Boy, it was a shock. Complete shock. I'd never seen anything like this before in my life. This was an eye-opener. It really showed me how people were treated. I'd never seen people like that in that shape, and they were really bad shape. And one time we had brought one Jewish casualty into the aid station. He was covered with feces. He smelled so bad we couldn't get near him. And he was all caked up on his body and his whole face. Everything was caked up with feces. And he told us we had a couple of Jewish GI in our outfit. We had to call one of them in and have him interpret what this guy was telling us. And he said there were 30 of them to begin with, and he's the only one left. They had him in this pen. The feces all over the place. He was laying in there for almost a month. And we brought him in. We couldn't get close to him. He smelled so bad. Yeah, it was really bad. The other 30 passed away. They died. He was the only survivor. He was the only one left. He was in bad shape.
Is there anything else from those months that you spent in Europe with the 97th Infantry Division that stands out to you today that you think the rest of us ought to know?
Well, I put in 3 years and 3 days with the service. And I learned a lot. Learned how to control myself, how to take care of people, and how to respect people and stuff like that. It makes you grow up faster, become independent, and you can take care of yourself. You know how to greet people and mix with people, things like that. It helps. You know, being in a service, you learn a lot.
Well, what does it feel like to walk around the museum and see stuff still hanging where you put it, or displays that are still where you built them? How satisfying is that for you?
Well, it's a great honor to have people giving us a good remark on the job that I had performed for them.
Every hallway that I walk through here and every room, seems to have dozens of framed items on the wall. How many frames do you think you put together and hung in this place?
Well, since I've been here, I believe I hung about 500 to 600 pictures.
So you were here for 27 years, and now you get here every once in a while. What does it mean to you to come back and to see how the other guys are carrying on what you started?
Well, there's few older people left, and there's some new people that just volunteered to help out. Everything seemed to be in order, as I can see. There's a few changes. They brought in some new items that I never did see before. Really pepped up the museum display for people to see.
Well, and there's one little section of the wall where it has some really nice things to say about somebody, and it has a picture of a guy smiling in a tuxedo, and it says right above it with a big arrow pointing to the right, the Ray Lee Room. What does that mean to you to have an entire room in this beautiful museum named after you?
Well, it's an honor to have my name put on the wall. It's making me feel so good, all the hard time we had putting the museum together. It was quite a job, and I appreciate their putting my picture up on the wall.
Can you take me back to the beginning and tell me the story of how you first got involved here?
I was at home watching TV, and they had a short snap of the museum of a person on a litter. And this gentleman on the litter was all bandaged up, covered up with a GI blanket, and that created some interest in me. So I was with the city of Fresno. My 25-year came up, and then I decided I would spend more time with the museum because I had no other way to have a hobby. So I decided to come down and volunteer at the museum. As I came to the front door with some item I had, Chuck Mungus was trying to spray a 4x8 plywood, and Mr. Warren McGuire, he was on his hands and knees working on an electrical system. Of course, he was a ham operator. He knew what the deal was about wiring. And then I looked at Chuck, I said, "Sir, you need some help." Next thing I knew, I was working down there as a volunteer. So he recruited me, so I came back and helped him out. And we came a long ways.
Yeah, you didn't know you were signing up for 27 years, did you?
No, I didn't decide. I didn't know I was going to be here for 27 years. But the item keeps coming in, and we got to have some place to display the item. We did ran out of room, and things got pretty hectic. So I decided my time was up. I decided to let the other fellows take the job. So I left. I retired.
And there's a giant moving model of a B-17 that you helped hang up there. And then one of the more striking parts of this museum is the grand foyer when you walk in. And on the wall, just about every side of the wall, there are these giant oversized images of those distinguished medals, the Medal of Honor, the Distinguished Service Cross, the Navy Cross, the Air Force Cross. How did all those get way up there? Because they're pretty high up.
You better believe it. We had a scissor jack. The city loaned us a scissor jack, and I was one of the person that helped wire the metal frame up. Used quarter-inch cable, aircraft cable, and we had a scissor ladder that goes up about 15 feet. That's pretty high up there. We had to hang them up on a hook, like the Purple Heart, Silver Star, Bronze Star, and all the high medal for that people have won. If you've been in the service and feel patriotic about the country, this is the place to come down and see what all the young fellow that volunteer who has passed away or killed in action or WIA wounded in action. We have all these people that come in. We really appreciate you people coming to see what these young fellow have done during the wartime.
A few years ago, you went to Washington, D.C. with Central Valley Honor Flight. You saw the National World War II Memorial. What was that like? What did you get out of that experience?
Well, I really enjoyed the flight. In fact, that's how I met you over there. We had a nice trip and really enjoyed it. I was very thankful for that. Seeing all those monuments and stuff like that, it really impressed me. Especially with the changing of the guard, that was something to see. And the Iwo Jima statue, putting up the flag, that was something to see too. It's a great tour. I really appreciate it. That's a lifetime visit I never forget.
And I always like to ask guys, not to try to put a thought in their head or tell them what they should think, but I'm genuinely curious. So when you are at the National World War II Memorial, and you're looking, and here's this wall of gold stars representing 406,000 Americans who didn't come home, and you saw a lot of those guys in Europe. When you were at that memorial looking at that wall of gold stars, what was going through your mind?
I was amazed. Everything was so beautiful over there. That monument was beautiful. And looking at it, I said, geez, those guys gave it all they had. And they deserve something like this for remembrance and having people seeing what they have done.
And one of the men represented on that wall of gold stars, part of that heavy cost of freedom in World War II, was Ray's friend from Kalinga. Remember, he talked about the customer at their Chinese restaurant who loved fried rice, the one they had nicknamed Apple? His name was Philip T. Mize, and Ray has never known what ended up happening to him. But thanks to today's technology and our interconnected worlds, I can tell you, a newspaper article from the end of World War II contained the names of 31 men from Kalinga who were killed in the war. But Philip Mize, at that point, was listed as still missing. His fate was yet unknown. He'd been in the Philippines before the war started, serving with the 19th Bomb Group. It wasn't until all the surviving prisoners of war returned that it became clear he had indeed been captured, had survived the infamous Bataan Death March, but then died in captivity. The Cabanatuan prison camp is the one that was famously liberated in a daring rescue that would become known as the Great Raid. But Philip Mize, Ray Lee's friend from Kalinga, passed away in that camp well before that rescue on June 24, 1942. His name is one of more than 2,700 listed on the Cabanatuan American Memorial, erected at the site of the former prison camp 30 years ago by those who survived their captivity there. I have linked a photo of Philip Mize's grave marker from the American Cemetery in Manila for you at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, where you can also find links to local TV news coverage of Ray Lee's surprise 100th birthday party at the Veterans Memorial Museum, home of the Legion of Valor, where he volunteered for 27 of those 100 years. Did the guys try to put you back to work, give you some new projects to work on while you were there?
No, they haven't. Everything was all taken care of. I looked around. I checked everything. Everything looks pretty good. I even looks better than when I was there. They moved things around and did a few things. At the time when I was there, we didn't have much finance to do things like what they did today. And they did quite a bit. It cost quite a bit of money to improve the place. But it was a nice setup.
Did you get out a handkerchief and polish the sign that says the Ray Lee Room?
Oh, no, I didn't. I just sat down and looked. I didn't want to do anything there, but they kept the place up real nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was something. This was one of the nicest museums I ever seen. Mm-hmm. They improved it a lot. Of course, they had a little more money after I left.
What's it feel like to be 100?
Oh, I feel good. No ache or pain. I feel like I'm about 18, 19-year-old. I'm still active. I still mow my lawn and take care of my garden. I like to keep active. I don't like to sit and moan and groan about my age. I like to get up and do things. My caretaker, they get kind of nervous when they see me out there working. They say, you're not supposed to do that. I say, well, I got to have my exercise.
What's your secret for being in such good shape at 100?
Well, first thing, I don't drink liquor. I don't smoke. I don't look at the woman. No, all kidding aside, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But I usually tell them that. Uh-huh. They ask me, what's my secret? I tell them the three items. Mm-hmm. Like I'm telling you.
Yep. Well, and I'm always curious, too, when you've lived 100 years, is there anything that you haven't done yet that you're still looking forward to? Is there something you're hoping to check off that list someday?
Well, I don't think I need anything more. I think I accomplished quite a bit in my life. I have a nice family. I have two daughters and two sons. One passed away, but the three kids, they keep me going. They're really good.
And as we wrap up the program, I'm thinking of something you said earlier, that you wish young people would learn more about what you and so many others did in World War II and all who've contributed to the price of freedom. Now that you're 100 years old, what advice do you think is most important for our younger generations to hear?
Live a clean life. Work hard. Make yourself known to people that you're well-behaved, well-mannered kid, and be kind and nice to other people. Help them out. That's what we were taught when we were kids.
Ray Lee, an enduring example at age 100. Thanks so much for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.